So take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. Did you already turn there? I didn't. Now, how many of you believe the Bible? Say amen. If you don't believe the Bible, this message won't mean anything to you, and it won't be a blessing to you, all right? But I want it to be a blessing, and I want you to know that God will help you, and God will speak to you through the pages of the Scriptures. Are we in good shape? Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Bradley. Okay. I'm just going to turn this on like that and hope that it works, all right? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. By the way, the whole armor of God is everything that's in the Scriptures. That's your defensive mechanism against the devil. And I want to tell you something. The devil is real. He's not just some idea that we have in our mind of a personification of evil. The devil is real, and he hates your guts, and he wants to see you dead, and he wants to see your family dead, he wants to see this nation killed off. And he wants to sit where God is sitting. Do you believe that? Say amen. That's not some wild-eyed conspiracy theory. That's what God said. God created the devil. He knows him. He created Lucifer, and he knows him, and he knows how he operates. He knows how he works. And by the way, he knows how he can be defeated. And so if God is the one who knows how the devil can be defeated in your life, wouldn't it make some sense for you to give heed to what God is telling you this morning? You are at war. Whether you want to admit it or not, you are at war. There is a battle going on over you right now. And I mentioned a while ago in the prayer, there might just be some roaring lion trying to tear you to shreds on the inside. Okay? And you're sitting here, and you'll smile and amen and shake hands with everybody, and it looks like everything's all good and everything's fine. But inwardly, which no man can see inside of there, but inwardly, it's a battle and a struggle for you to even be in church this morning. Okay? It's already a battle for just us to get this message out of this church this morning. We're already fighting a battle. Okay? And I want you to know, if we're successful in this, I want you to notice how we did it. Okay? I want you to notice how we did it and what we did not do to try to defeat the devil. But how many of you would like the devil defeated in your life? Say amen. Now, he'll come back. He'll come back. Just because you got rid of him today doesn't mean he's not going to show back up tomorrow. That's his nature. That's how he works. But thanks be to God, we know this Bible's right. And one of these days, the devil is going to be bound and cast into the lake of fire. Amen. That's what's going to happen to him. But you can at least get him off your back. Get a little breathing room. Get into a safe place, all right? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against... Now, I want you to understand now the spiritual nature of what goes on inside of your life. And I would even say in your emotional state as well. There may be physical things, and I understand that. Okay, a lot of times when I'm in physical pain, I am down emotionally. I am not myself. I get a little crabby. I don't like being crabby. Okay? I don't like being hateful to everybody. And when I catch myself being crabby, I almost want to get a sign that says I'm hateful today. Love me anyway. Okay? I remember I told, who was it, Gary? What was it, Monday or Tuesday? I said, he asked me something, and I said something real quick, and I turned and I said, Gary, I'm just real short today. Okay, I like to at least inform people that I'm miserable. Okay, so I understand that there are physical times when we don't feel good. But you listen to this now, because when we're that way, don't be surprised when devils show up. They will always go after the weak. You listening to me? They will not come after you in your strength. They will always come after you in your weakness. And I'm going to show you from the Bible why that is. Okay? So anyway, you need to understand that everything that happens now, there is a spiritual connection somehow, some way. God is not ever disconnected from your life. He never is. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, which means he's always there. And if he's always there, there's always going to be... I mean, remember, here's Jesus on the right hand of God. Guess who's on the left hand of God accusing you? Before God, it's the devil. So just remember that you are never disconnected from spiritual things. And if we could just put on our little spiritual King James Bible glasses on and see how things really are. I'm telling you, it does help. It really does help when we get understanding. My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. And if you don't want to be destroyed, get a little knowledge in you so you can at least understand what's going on. Am I making sense so far? All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, number one, principalities. Number two, powers. Why am I counting? I'm counting for a reason. Powers. Number three, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. How many have ever been in darkness? Say amen. There is devils over that. Okay? Just like there's a moon at night, there's devils over darkness. And then number four, spiritual wickedness in high places. Who in here has ever struggled with sin? See, you'll nod your head. You just don't want to say amen. How about you say amen? You struggle with sin. There's a devil over that. He didn't make you do it, but he was sure there when you did. And then he transmitted a Morse code signal to Lucifer, who's standing on the left hand of God. And Lucifer said, oh, God, this just in. Guess what? Who can I pick on? Guess what Jimmy Carmichael did? And yeah, which is no secret to everybody else. Amen. So guess what? And he's accusing you. And there was a devil right there. Okay? You just get that in your mind. Now, I always count things in the Bible because God is showing us rhythms and patterns in Scripture and He's given us understanding. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? Four things. Now, this is something that I don't know why, maybe I just wasn't listening, but I didn't get this in Bible college. Didn't get a whole lot in Bible college. I don't remember hearing this a lot in Sunday school, but I remember the old stories out of the Bible from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. And when you look back, there's a lot of animals involved in things. Okay, a lot of animal mentions in the Bible. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. The Bible says four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. How many there? Four. Okay. Four is that number for the spiritual realm. It always is. And I don't care what story it is, what passage it is. That number is always a number indicating a spiritual realm or a spiritual significance of some kind. And so here we have four great what? Beasts. A beast is an animal. Okay. A beast is an animal. I don't have this in my notes, but I want to show you this very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. The Bible talks about, this is an order of angels called cherubs. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the appearance of man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. Let's see here, down in verse 10. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, of a lion, of an ox, and of an eagle. So notice that we have these cherubs, angels, have the appearance of animals that you and I see. How many have ever seen a lion? We had to go all the way to Kenya, and we saw an old, big old lion. They had him in a cage, and he wasn't used to doing a whole lot, so he just slept a lot while we were there. You remember that, Michael? Okay, we saw animals. We saw a lion over there. I've seen eagles before. I see a lot of hawks around here now. Boy, I like them hawks. Amen. Things are huge, and I like those rascals. All right, I like watching hawks. And I've seen oxen before. We've seen all these things before. And God is just drawing a picture for us in this earthly realm of what's going around us in the spiritual realm. And I want you to think of animals and what the difference is between animals and human beings. A lot of people ascribe a lot of things to animals that they don't really have. Oh, this dog loves me. This dog knows that you take care of that dog very, very well. Okay? I don't know that. And somebody's going to write me an email. I just know they are. Okay? But let me tell you this. Animals always have a nature that you cannot train or tame out of them. And I'll just give you a scenario. You just ponder it for a while. Okay? let's say that you had a dog, and that dog just, I mean, it coddles in your lap, and you feed the dog, water the dog, give it treats, take it outside. I mean, you're just nice to this dog, and this dog is nice to you, and this dog will curl up at your feet. I want you to think about that image. God showed me that here a long time ago. Dogs like to curl up at the feet of a human being. And I know what the feet represent. They represent dominion. Our dogs do that. They'll curl up at our feet when we won't let them on the couch. You know why they sit at your feet? I'm going to show you why from the Bible. Okay? But anyway, let's say that you and everybody in your house died overnight. And nobody knew about it for a week. And your dog was left alive. Your dog does not love you that much. You get what I'm saying? That dog will feed itself. And see, we don't do that. We tell ourselves that ain't right and we're not doing that. Animals have a nature that you cannot tame out of them. You cannot train out of them. Eventually, in the right situation, that nature will come out. And I want to give you this one. Don't think that you and the devil will ever be friends and he'll play right with you. You write that down. You think about that. Don't think that the devil will ever be your friend, or devils or things that are against you will ever be your friend, because they will not be. They'll deceive you, just like some people have deceived you into friendship. You ever had that happen? Devils. Devils. Okay? So anyway, you understand this. Now, they're beasts. They're spirits. These spirits are beasts. Diverse from one another. Verse 4, that back in Daniel chapter 7, the first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. Okay? I beheld till the wings were thereof plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Verse 5, and beheld another beast, the second like a bear, raised itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Think about that. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard. What do leopards have? Spots. You know they cannot change their spots? God's telling you that they cannot change their nature. Okay? Leopards cannot change their skin. They cannot do anything about that. Spot is always indicative of sin in the Bible. Okay? And so, which had upon the back it four wings of a fowl. And I want you to think of birds that fly around. They're indicative of angels that have wings. The beast also had four heads. Dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, I'm one of these. I don't just think that Daniel was just writing some metaphor of some earthly thing. Daniel was describing exactly what he saw, and he was telling the truth. Can I get an amen out of somebody? He was describing these beasts exactly how they are. These are angelic realm, spirit realm creatures. And I want you to notice that here, there's four of them, and every one of them loves meat. They love flesh. Okay? You think about that. You have a lion. Lions don't go around eating leaves and grass and twigs and things like that. They're looking for meat to kill. They're looking for blood. Okay? Eagles, what do they eat? They eat flesh. What about bears? What do they eat? They eat flesh. What about leopards? What do they eat? They eat flesh. And this fourth beast had great iron teeth. What do you think he's going to use them for? You don't need iron teeth to chew leaves up. Eat salad. Amen. You don't need teeth to gum mashed potatoes up. Okay? But it had great iron teeth and it devoured and break in pieces. Now I want you to think about it. That's the plan for your life. That's what the devil's got in store for you, is to tear your life apart and to tear it in pieces. How many of you already know that? Say amen. And if we let these things loose, I'll be honest with you. There's some dogs I like, some dogs I don't like. Okay? Well, I'll say this. There are some dogs I tolerate, and some dogs I don't. I'll tell you about one here in a minute. I'm going to tell you a story that happened, a real story that happened to me this week. And this is how God blessed me. But I want you to think about spirits. And spirits will always play against you. They were always, and they're trying to tear you apart. They're very flesh hungry. They want your life. They want your marriage. You know that one? They want your marriage. They want your children. They want the commit. They want this church. They want our country. And I'll tell you, it's the spiritual forces that work in this country that's destroying this country. It's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's not the big businesses, it's not Barack Obama. It's the spiritual forces that are at work trying to tear this country apart. Do you believe that? Say amen. They love much flesh. So I want you to just consider this in your mind. Turn to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm 22 is a picture of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Okay? And I'm just kind of taking the path that God has given. I even put little graphics in my sermon to help me along. I got a picture of a lion here, and I got a picture of a person on here, and I'll show you what that means in a minute. Let's see. I've got a dragon in here. I just had fun with it last night. But anyway, this Psalm 22 is a picture of Jesus on the cross because it starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is exactly word for word what Jesus said when he was on the cross. He was quoting scripture. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever felt that way? Be honest. Be honest. Let's not try to be like some other churches where we don't talk about the bad stuff that goes on. We just talk about the good things that God has done in our lives, and we act like there's nothing ever wrong with us, but that's not true. And I won't pastor. I will not be your pastor and come up here and act like everything's okay with me all the time, because it's not. And I don't expect when you walk in the door that everything should just, as soon as you walk in the door, just this air from the church just hits you and all, everything's fine now, we're all good. A lot of times we have been in this situation where, and I want to tell you something, that Christ, there's nothing more weak than a man hanging on a cross. You can't move your arms, you can't move your legs, you couldn't even hardly breathe when he was on the cross, and he was there proclaiming, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Because cast upon him was the sins of all humanity. And God had turned his back on that. Okay, so here he is, Christ on the cross, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I want you to see, the Bible is revealing to us the spirits that are attacking Christ while he's on the cross. Look at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You ever been there? Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Now, you don't think that he was out in the middle of a cow field, do you? He's referring to these beasts, bulls. You know what the Egyptians, the Israelites made an image of? Think about it. Bulls, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring what? Lion. For dogs, what do dogs eat? I'm not talking about what your dog eats. You know what dogs will go for? Antonio? What are the rabbit dogs looking for as a reward? Eat the rabbit guts. Listen, they want your inwards. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. See how God's describing them? He's saying dogs, and then in the next breath he's saying they're calling them the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Then he says, they pierced my hands and feet. Save me from who? The lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. So don't you think about these devils that are against you. They are beasts. They have a beast nature, and they cannot overcome that. They cannot, they just the nature that they cannot escape. They were attacking Christ on the cross, and they will attack you. And listen to this now. They will attack you in your weakness, never in your strength. Because if you're strong, they don't have anything to do with you. How many of you know that to be true? You've had these days where you just woke up and just said, man, I just feel Jesus all over me. Woo! And you read a little Bible and you pray and you're singing gospel music in the car on the way to work and everything. I mean, just everybody's just looking just so happy and this, that, and the other. And you think, my, I think I finally got it. I think I finally got to the place where the devil's not going to bother me anymore. Wait till day after tomorrow. And you ain't feeling that way. And you can feel them around you. How many of you have done, you know that they're there? Okay? And you can hear them growl. And you know that they're after you. And you don't feel as strong as you did the day before yesterday. In fact, you're awfully weak. That's when they're going to close in. I mentioned before, there's nothing more weaker than a man hanging on a cross. And when Jesus was there on that cross, they were all over him. They were all over him. wanting to devour and tear him apart. I've got a verse that will show you that here in a minute. Let me read something out of 2 Samuel, verse chapter 17. But you listen to this. David was the king of Israel, and his own son, Absalom, wanted to steal the throne away from him and take it away from him. And Absalom had a counselor by the name of Ahithophel, who used to be, I think he used to be David's counselor. He changed sides. And Ahithophel, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 17, verse 1, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise." You know what that number 12 is? I'm not going to get into that. I'll just think of the zodiac. There's 12 signs in the zodiac, and all of them are beasts. Okay? They're angels. They're spirits that are coming against you. "And I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and make him afraid." Ahithophel was telling Absalom, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until David is just wore out and he's weary and he's weak-handed." What was it that Ahithophel knew about David's hands? David had already proclaimed in the Psalms, "Lord, you teach my fingers to fight. You teach my hands to know warfare." And nobody could whip them as good as David could whip them. And so Ahithophel knew that if he went after David when he was strong, when he had a spear at his side and he had a sword in his hand, he was wasting his time. And he knew that David had mighty men that stood with him that killed 800 Philistines at one time. So he knew better than to go after David in his strength. Are you listening to me? The devil may not be all over you sitting here in this church house, but you walk out that door and see what happens. I'm just telling you how it works. We're going to wait until he's weary and weak-handed, and then I'm going to make him afraid. You know why he wanted to make him afraid? He wanted David to abdicate the throne on his own. He wanted him to run out and leave and just bow out of it so that Absalom could have the throne. And that was the plan. I got a little picture here of just a woman there just in distress. Have you ever been like that? Distress, and you just, it's overwhelming, and you're weak, and you're tired, and you're crying, and you're depressed, and you just can't do anything. And mark my word, that's when they will show up. Dogs can smell what? Who gave them that ability? Devils can smell fear. They know when it's happening, and they will be all over you. Am I telling you the whole truth so far? Now, I laid the groundwork. Let me just read some scriptures real fast. Revelation chapter 12. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red what? Dragon." Did you know that's a beast? That's who the devil is. The Bible describes the devil as a dragon. In fact, in verse 9, the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. So he's a dragon, he's a serpent, he's Leviathan. He is all of these creatures, these reptile things. Who likes reptiles? I don't like snakes. Man, I don't like snakes. You ain't supposed to have snakes in your house, amen? That's just how I am, all right? And there's some other things I don't like, too, and I'll tell you what they are in a minute. And I won't get on the cat thing. I don't really like cats, but that's your deal, all right? But anyway, so the Bible is describing the devil himself, as a beast. See, we've drawn this image in our mind of the devil as this glorified angel, and he's all this and that and the other, or he might have, horns and a pitchfork and a red tail. We kind of visualize how this thing is, but the Bible is telling you both who he is, what he appears like, and what his nature is. He has the nature of a serpent or a dragon. He has a beast nature, which means that there are certain conditions that he likes and certain conditions that he does not like. And if you need to get rid of him, there's a way to do it. Now, before I read, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And before I read that scripture, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Okay? And this has already been a blessing to a pastor friend of mine who I was sharing this with Tuesday before the funeral. And this man is, he's older, he's much wiser in the Bible than I am. This man's solid King James. He's been that way for years. He's been doing this longer than I have. And when I just kind of told him this little deal, his eyes went like that. He said, you know what? And what we started doing, Brad? He started going through scriptures in his mind. And he was trying to, he was being a Marine. He's trying to see if this thing was true or not. And he called me the next day, not too long after that, and told me, he said, that story you told me, do I have permission to tell that? And I said, yeah. He said, good, because I already have. He said, I'm counseling with somebody right now. And he said, I told that story. And he said, you just tell the spirit changed in this room. And he said, I'm going to preach that sometime. I said, go ahead. It's the Bible. It's free. Whatever. Okay. I've sat in camp meeting sometime, Brady, and hear some guy preaching. I'm going, God, why didn't you give me that? And God said, I just did. Would you shut up and listen? Amen. Go home and use it. All right. So anyway, let me tell you what happened. Okay. Mr. Spiritual here. Monday, I got up and I came over to the church. I hadn't planned on doing anything. Just coming over here. And Gary will tell you, and I just sat over here and I just sat and stared. I sat and stared. Not a whole lot of spiritualness in me. And the longer the day went on, the worse I got. And Gary could have whooped me if he wanted to. Alicia could have whooped me if she wanted to. I was pretty down. Pretty down. And I sat here and I sat here and I sat here and I finally sent Lisa a text and I said, I'm coming home. And it's about 1 o'clock and she said, why? And I called her and I said, I'm going to come home and I'm going to go down the woods and I'm going to chop something up in little bitty pieces. I said, now, do you want me to do that in the house or down the woods? She said, down the woods. I said, because when I get home, that's what I am going to do. So I drove home and I did. I walked in the door. Hi, Lisa. Hi, sweetie. And I went and changed my clothes and I did. I went and got my axe. I had just sharpened that thing before deer season, Sterling. You remember that? Never used it because we didn't light a fire out there. We had electricity. Amen. And so I had this thing good and sharp. And I went in the shed and looked for it. It wasn't there, still in the van. I went in the van and got it. And I walked down the woods. And I was looking for an old dead tree. And I found one. It was about this big around. Then I found another one that was this big around. This is the one I picked. And I don't know what I'm doing down there. I'm just down in the woods. And I'm going, I got to get this out. I got to get this out. And I want to tell you something. Don't hold it in. Don't hold it in. Everything in your body tells you that every now and then stuff's just got to come out. God designed, we're so full of corruption. That corruption has to have a place to go or it'll kill you. And I was so full of it. David, I went down the woods and I picked that tree out and I took that axe and I started beating on that tree. I mean, hard. Hard. And I struck and I struck and I struck and I struck. And I don't know. I won't tell you what I said. It wasn't nothing bad. But stuff started coming out of my mouth. And I yelled at God, or I just yelled. And I let up and I stood there and I just heaved. And I finally calmed down a little bit. And I felt a little better. It helps. And I just stood there and the wind was blowing. It's a nice day, kind of like it is now. Just nice day. And I just stood there. And I just stood there. And after about 5 minutes, I heard a noise. In the leaves. And when you're out in the woods and you hear something running through the leaves, what is it? Squirrel. Squirrel. Okay. Because in deer season, you're listening for leaves rustling, and you're thinking there's a great big old buck coming to you, and it's a stupid squirrel. And I could have a mess of them by sundown, but never kill a deer. And I looked, I'm thinking squirrel, and I looked over there, and 40 yards away was our barbed wire fence. It goes all the way down in the woods, and it marks our property line. Now, I want you to listen to this now. God gives us property. He gives us possessions. He gives us inheritance. He gives us land. It's not the government's right to take it away from us. God gives it to us. And the devil does not know what a no trespassing sign is. When you read the story of Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, the first thing you'll notice is that the Philistines encamped in Shoko, which belongeth to Judah. Why does the Bible go out of its way to tell you that? That was Judah's property. It did not belong to the Philistines, and they had no right being there. Are you listening to me? There are places and territories, I believe, in your life, according to Scripture, that God gives us, that devils have no right being there. They have no right, no place. It doesn't belong to them. So I look over at the barbed wire fence, and on the other side of that fence is probably the dog that I hate the most. And I think every one of them ought to be destroyed, and that's a pit bull terrier. I don't like pit bulls. I don't want to hear about you how friendly yours is. Pit bulls are have been bred and designed to do one thing, and that is kill. And they're adept at it. Your little bitty dog that bites you has got a mouth about this big around, and it might pinch your flesh every now and then and poke a hole in it. A pit bull, their whole jaw is designed to wrap around your neck and pull on it until it pulls vessels, aortas, and everything out of you and kill you instantly. That's what it's designed for. And I don't like them. And I look over there, and there's a pit bull standing over there at that fence. Okay? Now, I've got an axe in my hand. I'd rather not use it. So you know what I did? I looked over there and I said, "Go on, get out of here." Huh? Just like that. And that dog looked up at me and took off back the other way and made a great big long circle around me out in that field back there. And I'm going, whew. By the way, wasps have stings. Okay? Think about that in the Bible. As soon as that happened, the Holy Ghost quoted Scripture. It's Mike. Now that, I'm going to tell you, pit bulls can overpower a man. I don't care how tough you think you are. You listen to me. They can overpower a man. Not while he's standing. They'll get you to fall. Are you there? They'll get you to fall and they'll kill you. And while I'm standing there, the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost will deal with you, he will quote Scripture. And let me tell you what he quoted me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Who's got dominion over them? God gave man dominion over these beasts. Okay? And so God created man in his image, and the image of God created in him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God gave us dominion. So that's the first thing the Holy Ghost quoted to me was, "Mike, do you know why that dog ran off when you spoke? Because I have given you dominion over him." Now you think about this long and hard. And then here's the second thing the Holy Ghost quoted to me. Genesis chapter 9, turn there. Genesis chapter 9, verse 2. Here's what God said. This is what God said. "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." How many of you know that? That God has put a natural fear of man in every creature on the earth. Listen, I've been out in the woods enough to know that rabbits don't mind deer walking, and deer don't mind squirrels moving around, and the turkeys don't mind the birds flying in the air. They don't mind all that stuff. But when they smell or see or detect a man, they will flee every time. Am I telling the truth? You guys that are out in the woods, they will flee. Deer, they'll hang around anything out there, but when they see or smell a man, they don't hang around. There is a natural fear of them. And God, the Holy Ghost said two things, Mike. Number one, you have dominion. And number two, that dog fears you more than you fear him. I put that in there. And then the Holy Ghost, I'm just standing there going. So after I said, listen to this now, after I said, go on, get out of here, huh? Like that. When Holy Ghost dealt with me about that, I just kind of looked around the woods and I said, that goes for the rest of you guys too. I want you out of my life. I want you to leave my family alone. This is not your property. And see, that barbed wire fence meant something. That thing was on the other property line, and I wasn't about to let him come over on ours. You don't either. The only time that they come in is when you open the stupid door and let them in. You listen to me. That's when they'll come in. And so I did. I said, I don't want you around me. You don't have, you're not getting my wife. You're not going to have my children. You can't have my brother-in-law anymore. He's safe. You can't have my daddy. You can't have my granddaughter. And if every one of them have to be laid into the hands of Jesus, that's the way it's going to be. But they're mine, and you're not getting them. And you think about this. I'm telling you, God had me down in the woods at that exact time and brought that dog over there to show me that. I believe that. I believe in that. That's not just some wild fantasy town. I'm giving you scriptures here to tell you that that's how they operate. And I'm going to add something to this, okay? Just to solidify. Now, I am a man, and I can bark at that dog and make that dog leave, by and large, okay? I don't know that I have that kind of power over devils. In fact, I don't think that I do. But I know the man that does. And I'm going to set you free from something in case you're out there in some kind of bondage by somebody that told you that if you just perform, and I'm against this, if you perform a ritual or you say the right, you'll have people around say, devil, I command thee in the name of Jesus. I say, be gone. So they make all these big words and make this big religious show of it and expect that devils are going to bow down to that? I don't think so. They have more power than us. And your little Mickey Mouse words coming out of your mouth does not scare them at all. But I know the man. And so I don't go around just casting demons out of every situation or devils or this and that and the other. I go to God and say, God, get them out of here. Right. You say, is that scriptural? Let me read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. You know what the spirit of his mouth is? It's the King James Bible. Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus in the wilderness, and the dragon showed up. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then Jesus said unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. You know what he said? It is written, it is written, it is written. And what happened? What happened to the beast when Jesus quoted the scripture? The Bible says he departed and left him alone. My words don't cut it. But his words do. And I don't know the conclusion of this. This is just what happened to me this week. This is how God laid things on my heart. And I just want to help you. Because you will go through something and they will be all over you. And I don't care if it's emotional distress, financial distress. I believe that there are devils that will go after the spoils. Which sometimes you let them in. Amen? You know what you tell people when they say their house is overrun with cockroaches? Quit feeding them. That means wipe your nasty table off. Amen? Mop your floor, vacuum a little bit. Amen? Quit feeding them rascals. Okay? You don't want them in? Don't feed them. You don't want them coming after you? Don't let them in. But I'm telling you, when they come, they'll come after your finances, they'll come after your marriage, they'll come after your children, they'll come after everything, and they're very, very hungry, and they will destroy everything that they have in their power. And I'm telling you that God has put a natural fear of into them of what this man says. And when this voice is heard, they can't stand it. And they leave. That's the Bible. That's what I believe. That's what God showed me this week. So I walked back after I finished chopping the tree down, by the way. And I went down there to chop it down. I chopped it down. Then I cut up some wood and I had a fire and had a pretty good day. God helped me Tuesday, and God has helped me every day this week. Okay? And I'm just telling you, that's who they are. They will wait for you to get weak, and then they will show up. And they will destroy you and kill you in your weakness. Okay? But when you're weak, remember who is strong. When you're weak, remember who is strong. And you just get your Bible out. And that I don't know if I've told you this once, I'll tell you 1,000 times until we're both dead. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. And then read it. And now and then read it out loud. Okay? Just read it and get this Bible going. And I'm telling you, those beasts cannot handle that man. And that man will destroy them with the spirit of his mouth. Is that simple enough? So when you're in distress, what are you going to do? Get your Bible out. When it looks like it's all dead and gone, get your Bible out. When you're tired of being overrun, get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. That's the message. That's it. I'm done. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to give you a chance. If you want to come down, come down. I just wanted to teach more than I did anything. I wanted to share with you what God had laid on my heart. And I really believe, Gary, that they know how to pull plugs. Mice and squirrels will chew through wires, won't they? Okay, I'm just telling you that's what I see here. And I know you would have heard the message, but there may be somebody out there that really needed to hear this today. And I hope it blessed them. And I'm just telling you, when it's at its worst, get your Bible out. And I promise you they will leave, or this Bible's a lie, and I'll get out of the ministry. But I promise you they will leave. So, you know what? I just want to pray this morning, and I want you to get some things settled in your mind. That if I, and there may be somebody right here, right now, that there's a lion just trying to rip them apart. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Okay? I'm telling you, it works. Heavenly Father, I love this church. Lord, these people have stood with me. They've gone to bat for me. They've defended me, Lord, when I was defenseless. And I just love these people. And Lord, stuff like this happens. I don't like it. I'd just soon not be that way. For my sake and for my family's sake and for this church's sake. But God, when these storms move in and these lions and these dogs start coming in, Lord, I'm glad, Lord, you've taught me some things and you've helped me. And God, I'll just go ahead and admit this morning, I've never drank a day in my life, God. But this week, I wanted to drink and get drunk. I wanted anything that would take this pain away from me. I didn't, because you helped me. You helped me. And I thank you for that. So God, now I can tell others, you don't need alcohol. You don't need whatever this world offers. I tell them, get their Bible out. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that you stand strong and you show yourself strong on our behalf. And Lord, that when we are weak, you are made strong. And God, we don't have to be strong because a lot of times, God, we can't be. So, Lord, let this message be, Lord, if it just helps one person today, then so be it. But, Lord, just convince people, confirm it in their hearts. This is what works. This is how it'll happen. This is how I'll help you. Thank you, God, for making it that simple for us. Thank you, God, for what you've done. And I will praise you, Lord, always for all that you've done. We ask this, Lord, that you help us and you bless us. In the name of Jesus, our friend, our Savior, and our shepherd. And all of God's people said, amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days, I see you in heaven, and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.